Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Put It In Your Pocket, your source for all niche music trivia. My name's Caroline, and today, you can probably already guess what we're doing. It's the Christmas episode! Merry Christmas from Put It In Your Pocket. I would say from the staff, it's literally just me. Merry Christmas from me. And I just played you guys my favorite Christmas song of all time. I know that might seem like a basic answer, but I really do think that Last Christmas is the greatest Christmas song. It's phenomenal. I love Wham. Love that song specifically. So I wanted to open with it because I think it's a really good introduction to this episode, obviously since it's my favorite, but also I wanted to give a few little quick facts about it before we move on from it too soon. So Last Christmas was released on the 3rd of December 1984, and it initially spent 5 consecutive weeks at number 2 in the UK, but it was beaten to Christmas number 1 by the charity single Do They Know It's Christmas? And anybody who saw that Wham! Documentary that came out last year knows the story behind this, but George Michael was featured on Do They Know It's Christmas, and so he kind of technically had 2 Christmas number 1s that year, but in the documentary, his friends talk about how he was upset that Last Christmas was not number 1, but he couldn't say anything because what it was beaten by was a charity single that he was on. So we kind of had to keep his mouth shut about that, but I thought that was a really funny anecdote from him. And then it re-entered the chart various times in later years. We all know that this song pops up every single December, and it became the highest selling UK single never to reach number 1. It reached number 1 on New Year's Day for the first time in 2021, and became the Christmas number 1 in 2023, 39 years after its release. And then in 2024, it did it again, becoming the first song to become Christmas number 1 for consecutive years, which is weird to me. I feel like you would think the same ones happen over and over again, but Last Christmas is special in that way. And in the UK, it was voted 8th on the 2012 ITV television special, The Nation's Favorite Christmas Song, which is insane, 8th? I mean, come on. And it was voted the most popular 1980s song in Channel 5's Christmas 2020 countdown, Britain's Favorite 80s Songs, which that's a little bit better. That makes more sense to me. And one final thing about this song for me, it always reminds me of the movie We Need to Talk About Kevin. I feel like I brought that movie up before on this podcast because it's such a music-centered movie. Without the music, it wouldn't have the same effect it has, like, at all. And this song plays during a really important scene, and it's so creepy. And it was amazing to me that they were able to make such a like vibrant like song that we've associated with so many good memories into something completely different. I always think about that scene when I hear this song. But even more interesting is the lawsuit that surrounds this song, which a lot of people don't know about. So on behalf of the writers of the 1975 song Can't Smile Without You, which was made popular by Barry Manilow, the publishing company Dick James Music, who did all Elton John's music, fun fact, sued Michael, George Michael that is, for plagiarism in the mid-1980s, claiming that Last Christmas had taken its melody. And when I read this for the first time, I was like, what? But if you listen to it, guys, it's so obvious. And I think that that's so interesting. So here's a clip from Can't Smile Without You. Can't you hear it? I mean, it's a lot slower in Can't Smile Without You, but guys, I thought that was like the coolest thing ever, and I never would have picked up on that myself. So there was a lawsuit that ended up settling. It was a whole thing, but I feel like this same rhetoric pops up all the time on this podcast, just stuff that like, it's always that battle between one publishing company thinks this sounds similar, they end up giving it up in court, it's whatever. We have so many stories like this, but I do feel like that is just part of the artistic process. And I've said this 100 times before, but you know, we have a song that is so beloved, like Last Christmas. And I think it would be very difficult to make a song that is that successful, that catchy, that notable without having some obvious influences thrown in. Almost any smash hit you can think of has had that same story on some certain scale. So, you know, just something to keep in mind next time you hear it. It may sound exactly like a distant Barry Manilow memory as well. This next song that I'm going to play you guys is very different from Last Christmas, which is why I'm going to play it next. It's called White Winter Hymnal by Fleet Foxes. I hope that at least someone has heard of this song because it's so, so beautiful and definitely one of my favorite Christmas songs, probably in my top three, actually. I love this song all year round, but it just hits different during Christmas time for some reason. So it's the first single from Fleet Foxes' debut 2008 album. It's called Fleet Foxes, and it's definitely their most famous one. I'm really hoping that someone listening is a Fleet Foxes fan. They're definitely like the unsung heroes of like indie folk, especially in the early 2000s, and they did a lot for that movement. And they're just great. They have beautiful voices. And it was released by their European label, Bella Union, on July 21st, 2008. So it's really interesting to me that this song did not come out during winter. I always assumed it was intended to be a Christmas song because I just so like heavily associated that season with this song, but it didn't come out in winter. So it makes me wonder why that is. It was really hard to find information about this song because Fleet Foxes don't do a lot of interviews and stuff like that. But I can tell you guys that this song is so, so beautiful and very different from anything you've ever heard before. So I am excited to play it. The former Cocteau Twins bassist, Simon Ramond, the head of the record label Bella Union. So that's kind of like a weird crossover there. He was actually considering shutting the label down due to financial issues. But after he heard a demo version of White Winter Hymnal, he continued the record label, was motivated from it, and signed Fleet Foxes to their label based on how much he liked the song, which I totally understand. When you hear it, you'll be like, yes, that makes perfect sense. New York Times critic Josh Tyron said that this song was the number 5 song of 2008, which, guys, is saying something. 2008 was a wonderful year for music. Pitchfork Media ranked it the second song of 2008 and number 66 on their decade end list, which is crazy. And this song is so interesting to me because it's told like a fairy tale. I feel like winter, especially as a season, even apart from Christmas, is such like a magical time of year just because everything's a little bit different. You have all the snow on the ground, all the animals are hiding away. Obviously, all of the trees are bare and there's just something different in the air. And this song definitely captures that like kind of weird, almost creepy feeling, which is why I like it so much. But the writer of this song, Robin Pecknold, also the lead singer of Fleet Foxes, told Pitchfork Media, "A lot of the record is about my experience when I was a kid. My really tight-knit group of friends, as everyone did. But when we grew up from grade school to junior high to high school, everybody just kind of split off and everybody changed. I went from this really close group to seemingly for no reason, everybody going their own way. This song is just about that feeling." So I really like that explanation. It's a lot less whimsical than I thought it was going to be. But basically this song tells a repetitive story almost like a folk tale, which is super interesting. This has a much more literal meaning in the writer's eyes, clearly. But to me, it always in my head was about like some magical creatures going through the forest and like kind of the weird aloofness and almost like isolation and loneliness of being in winter, especially in nature during winter. So I think it's just a really unique song that is essential to your Christmas playlist, especially even as we get into January, I would say very fitting for this time of year. So hunker down and get like some warm tea. I feel like that's the right way to enjoy this song. And here's White Winter Hymnal by Fleet Foxes.
I was following the eye, 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 was following the pack, all swallowed in their coats with scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turned round and turn the white snow red as strawberries in the summer. to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn around and there you go. And Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in summertime.
Isn't that just such a gorgeous, timeless song? Like, I feel like you could tell me that that song came out in any time period and I would believe you. You could tell me it was written 800 years ago by some medieval bard and Fleet Foxes just revised it and I would believe you. Like, that's just so difficult to do in a piece of art. And I love that song so much. So gorgeous. And their voices and their acoustic guitars absolutely make it. So I just love that song and I'm really glad that we got to play it. But if you're wondering, Caroline, where is the Jackson 5 Christmas album? I've got you. I've got you. It's here. The track that I'm going to be playing off of this album is Christmas Won't Be the Same This Year. It's just such a good representation of what that album is like, especially since it's not like a very basic cover, like something like Little Drummer Boy or something that we've all kind of heard before. I figured this would be a good pick. And if you aren't familiar, the Jackson 5 Christmas album is just inexplainably the greatest Christmas album ever. I don't make the rules. That's not a Caroline opinion. That's just like, yes, this is gospel. That's a fact. It has everything. It's jazzy. It's kind of weird. A little bit corny. It's beautiful vocally, beautiful aesthetically. It's so strange because the Jackson 5 were Jehovah's Witnesses. Why are they making a Christmas album? They don't celebrate Christmas. Well, you know, it's 1970, the record label's calling, maybe we just needed the money. And boy, did they get it, because this album was crazy successful. It spent 4 weeks at the number one position on the Billboard magazine's special Christmas albums chart, and they published in December 1970, making it the best-selling Christmas album of that year, and also 1972. In the US. It had a lot of potential based on like the projected growth that it was going to have to chart on the US Billboard Top LPs ranking, but from 1963 to 1973, they didn't allow holiday albums to chart in, which is super weird. I don't really know why, but without that rule, they probably would have charted very high on the regular Billboard LPs chart. And it has since then sold over 3 million copies worldwide, which is crazy for a Christmas album. Joshua Alston of the AV Club said that the original songs were among the finest moments of the album, and said that Jackson 5 Christmas is tough to compete with because it isn't, as Christmas records so often are, an inessential brand extension or bait for discography completists. It's a potent distillation of the spirit of Christmas, an album joyful enough to make me feel like it's the most wonderful time of the year rather than merely telling me so, which is such a good way to describe this album. It's not telling you it's Christmas, it's literally implanting the Christmas spirit into your, like, eardrums. They're so good at what they do. The Jackson 5, I mean, just are gonna bring joy wherever they go, and this album has so much Christmas joy. It's just amazing. And Michael is really at the top of his game here. I don't know how that little boy did it, but he is just obviously so clearly a star already, and this album is so good, y'all. I forgot to mention that it's the fourth studio album of theirs, first Christmas album, and it was released on October 15th, 1970. So there's some quick stats for you. And again, I just want to reiterate how weird this album makes me feel, because they're Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, Michael was barely even allowed to release the Thriller music video because of how religious his family is, yet they're making an entire Christmas album talking about the birth of Jesus with Little Drummer Boy. It's so strange, guys. So strange. Anyway, I just always thought that was so weird. I need answers. But Christmas Won't Be the Same This Year is just my pick because it's so much fun. I love the intro. My sister and I always, every year on Christmas, always joke about this intro because it's so funny. And you'll see what I mean when you hear it. But hopefully you've heard this song before, but if you haven't, you're in for such a treat. Here is Christmas Won't Be the Same This Year. Definitely the funkiest song we've got going on in this episode.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everybody. Big deal.
Hey, man, what's wrong with you, Jermaine?
Yeah, that's no kind of attitude.
This only happens once a year.
Hey, fellas, don't bug him. He and his girl just broke up. So get off his back. Can't you see there's tears in his eyes?
Yeah, he's crying. He's crying.
Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
I see the lights, but they don't shine. underneath the Christmas tree. Our house is decorated. My friends are celebrating us. No, 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 no. It won't be the same this year. The things we used to do, my darling, it's all over. The neighborhood kids are having so much fun. I wish I could kiss you again like I did before. No, no. Yeah, yeah. So go on, girl, and have your fun. Don't spoil your time thinking about me. This time next year, my darling dear, hopefully you'll be having dinner with me. No, 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 no. It won't be the same without you, darling. No, 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 no.
This next song is definitely one that everybody's familiar with. One of the most iconic Christmas songs of all time. Happy Christmas, War is Over releases a single by the Plastic Ono Band with the Harlem Community Choir in 1971. A lot of people credit this as just a John Lennon song. It is with the Plastic Ono Band, which is, of course, his band with Yoko Ono, his current wife at the time. And it was the seventh single that was released by him outside of his work with the Beatles. So this was, like, very early on in his solo career and his work with the Plastic Ono Band. And the song reached number 4 in the UK when its release was delayed until November of 1972, but it occasionally reemerges in the UK singles chart around winter time. And after his murder in December of 1980, it peaked at number 2 again, as did a lot of his music, especially his latest album, Double Fantasy, started charting again after his death, which always happens when huge artists like that pass away. But in a UK-wide poll in December of 2012, it was voted 10th on the ITV television special, The Nation's Favorite Christmas Song, so it was just below Last Christmas. And after the Beatles disbanded in 1970, he was the first former member to release an original Christmas song, which would be then followed by George Harrison's and Paul McCartney's, of course, Wonderful Christmas Time, and then Ringo Starr's Christmas album in 1999. So everybody would follow suit soon after that. And he was the first former member to release an original Christmas album, which, guys, is so weird because I feel like that's not a very John Lennon thing to do, especially because he was not associated with religion, like, at all. And so I think it's really funny that he was also doing that at the same time. It's just kind of weird. It's a weird point in his discography. And this song, I mean, you don't need me to say a whole lot about it. It is so iconic. And it's a lot like Imagine in the fact that it kind of gives you chills every time you hear it. And it makes you want to go out and, I don't know, like, liberate a nation or something. You want to do something powerful after you hear it. And it's just, again, so unlike any other Christmas song that I just think it's an absolute must-have on your playlist. So with that short introduction, here's one of my personal favorite Christmas songs, and I think just the world's favorite Christmas songs. This is Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. And so happy Christmas.
keeping in the same vein as a very merry activist Christmas, this next song is Someday at Christmas, the original version by Stevie Wonder. This song is so iconic in its own right that it's taken on a lot of different forms over the years. And we'll talk about the different notable versions as we discuss the song, but I do think that Stevie Wonder's is probably the best. A lot of people are going to disagree and say it's the Jackson 5, but Stevie Wonder, no one does it like him, and he just so believes in what he's singing in this song because he himself is such a powerful person. And I think that his voice just shines through like nobody else's when he sings this song. So I like the original the best, which is a little rare for me, but I think that he did a wonderful job with this song. It's from his very first Christmas album and his 8th studio album that was released in 1967. And then of course it gained a lot of greater popularity with the version that was released by the Jackson 5 in 1970 on the Jackson 5 Christmas album. I did consider playing their version instead because it's amazing and Michael sounds wonderful in it. But overall, I just think we gotta stick with Stevie for this one. You gotta trust me. And end on a high note, literally. And the song's been recorded by over like 70 artists, including Christina Aguilera, Pearl Jam, Brandy, Justin Bieber, and Lizzo, which is who we'll talk about next. She released her own cover of Someday at Christmas on November 10th, 2022 on Amazon Music. And she said that she chose to cover the song, quote, not just because it's a classic, but because it's a reminder to us that almost 60 years later after its release, we are still fighting for peace, compassion, and equality. She performed her version during her guest appearance on Saturday Night Live in December 17th of 2022, which is one of my favorite live like versions of anything by her. She has a great, great voice in that song, that live version. It's so good. Her version peaked at number 59 on the Billboard Hot 100, which actually outperformed Stevie Wonder's original, which is really funny. But Lizzo is, oh, I love Lizzo so much. But she's like, she reminds me of Stevie Wonder a lot in that she's very strong-willed in what she believes in. And she has a beautiful, soulful voice. She's just like a powerhouse singer. And anytime that her or Stevie Wonder puts their voice on anything, you know that it's going to be done right. And I respect both of them as artists so much, but I really do want to play his version because I think that it's definitely the most like underdone. Everything else, you know, the Jackson 5's version, Lizzo's version, all the way to like Pearl Jam's version, which is also very good, check that out. They're all accompanied by a lot like bigger arrangements, which makes the song a lot bigger and louder, which is sounds amazing. But I think for a song like this, the way that it's toned down with Stevie's original version makes it even more powerful somehow. And I did want to end with this song because, you know, the message of this song talks a lot about what the Christmas season or the holiday season in general reminds us of. And this has been a really, really tough year for the world and especially for America. And, you know, every time that I feel like it's getting really, really bad or it's really got me down, these past few months especially have been really rough. Hearing a song like this by someone like Stevie Wonder, who has done so much over the course of his life to make things right, hearing a song like this, especially around Christmas time, is just so powerful, and it means so much to, you know, everyone who believes in the hope and the magic of that season. And I think it reminds us to maybe be a little kinder to ourselves, but also kinder to the world around us, and understand what all of it really means. So, you know, for all the fun and like weird, crazy stuff we've played in this episode, I think this is the perfect way to leave it off, with one of the best songs that's ever been written for this season. So I hope it serves as a good reminder to us. And it's just so great. I love it. And I'm really excited to play it for you guys. So this is Someday at Christmas by Stevie Wonder, the OG version. But be sure to check out all the other ones because they are just as great too.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars, when we have learned what Christmas is for. When we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday someday at Christmas time.
Stevie Wonder has always been such an amazing bright light and voice of hope in the music industry and also just in the world. And I'm very proud to be from the same place as him. He's just such an icon and we're very lucky to exist in the same time as him. So love a Stevie Wonder track to brighten our day. He also sounds so young there. I mean, 1967 was like the signed, sealed, delivered era. And every time I hear something from back then, it like shocks me because his voice is just so much bigger, like in the 80s and stuff like that. And even in like Songs in the Key of Life and those huge albums. And I just think it's so funny to see how he's grown. But I hope you guys enjoyed this Christmas episode. I hope you have a very, very happy holiday season, no matter what or where or when you're celebrating. And I hope that this episode was able to make it a little bit brighter in true put it in your pocket fashion. So when we return in the new year, we might have a little filler episode after Christmas. When we return in the new year, I'm very excited for all the things that we're looking forward to, hoping to change some things up a little bit and deliver the things I'm very excited to deliver. So get ready for that. As always, let me know what you liked, what you'd like to hear next. And as always, my name's Caroline. This has been Put It In Your Pocket. Thank you for listening.